Today is known as MHA Sunday, Methodist Homes, and we're sort of concentrating on the older members of the congregation, shall we say, in the service today. So that, in a sense, is the theme for the rest of the service. We're going to hear some readings. I found it very difficult to find a passage in the Old Testament speaking about old people. So we've picked out some separate verses. So there's a verse from Psalms, there's one from Ruth, one from Isaiah, one from Job, and Philippians and Corinthians. So we're going to have these verses read to us, but they're not going to say where they're from. If any of you are interested in a list of the source of the verse, we do have that available for you if you want. So we'll hear our first selection of readings. Thank you.
And now, in my old age, don't set me aside. Don't forsake me now when my strength is failing.
He will renew your life in your old age.
And I will still be carrying you when you are old. Your hair will turn grey and I will carry you. I made you and will carry you to safety.
Though my heart, my flesh and my heart fail, God is my rock of my heart, my portion forever.
The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar of Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. In old age, they still produce fruit. They are always green and full of sap, showing that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Those who are older should speak, for wisdom comes with age.
For I am sure of this very thing, that the one who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus.
That is why we are not discouraged. Though outwardly we are wearing out, inwardly we are renewed day by day. Our suffering is light and temporary, and is producing for us an eternal glory that is greater than anything we can imagine.
The reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, through to chapter 5, verse 1. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Amen.
This is why we are not discouraged. Though outwardly we are wearing out, we are renewed every day. Today we are remembering and holding in prayer the work of MHA, Methodist Homes for the Aged. I don't know that it's still referred to that. We know that they have adapted and changed the way they work and the way they meet the needs of our present day population. and we have members of our congregation who enjoy living in Welland Place, which is an MHA establishment. Forgive me, therefore, today if I concentrate on the older members of our congregation. It feels appropriate on MHA Sunday. A quote from a writer called Florida Scott Maxwell: "We who are old know that age is more than a disability. It's an intense and varied experience, almost beyond our capacity at times, but something to be carried high." And perhaps only someone who's aged has the right to speak about it. I was in a gathering where we were discussing a book, and there was a chapter on aging, and the people in the group that I was talking with, I noticed that they were all talking about the elderly as the way they, slightly younger, not very much younger, were experiencing caring for the elderly. They weren't talking as if they were the elderly, and I sort of sat there thinking, you got it wrong, mate. Elderly Christians have many issues to contend with. First of all is the awareness of our physical and possibly mental decline as the years passed. Where I used to dash downstairs without a thought, now I carefully negotiate each step so as not to fall. And when I greet new members of the congregation, somebody arrives new and I speak to them and I ask their name, I have a built-in apology that by next week I will not have remembered that name. We do wonder whether we should have stickers with our name on our lapel that would help. And one of the joys of being a long-time member of this church here is that I've grown alongside many of you over the years. And as you watch my aging, so I watch yours. And I see the changes that occur. And I see the tender care given by spouses to each other. And I witness the grief when a partner dies. And I know I'm part of this and it will happen to me. Second point, the society we live in promotes the value of youthfulness. Dye your grey hair. I do sometimes. Exercise so as to keep the muscles active and young. And if you're wealthy, have your wrinkles stretched out of existence and inject Botox so to appear plump-skinned and beautiful. There's also great emphasis and pride taken in being independent. Yet the human being is never truly independent. Babies and children require looking after for years, and parents offer this care as a matter of course. And then for a brief few years, there may be independence, but as the years roll on, that morphs into needing increasing help, even in small things. I cannot open modern childproof containers as they require a grip I no longer have, and bottles of bleach in my house sit with their tops undone or I couldn't use them. Except when children visit and then we have to screw them on. As we age, our highly valued independence changes into interdependence. And even as an old person receives help with the tasks of daily living, they too can minister to the caregiver, sharing love and listening ear, maybe even some hard-won wisdom. A two-way relationship can add dignity and worth to what may feel like a diminishing. The Irish priest and poet John Donoghue said, "Life is growth in the art of loss. Life is growth in the art of loss. Loss of physical ability, partners, homes, friends, pets, mental ability, the ability to drive a car, hearing. So many losses big and small, and learning to gracefully let go as time goes on may be one of the hardest of life's lessons, but one, if learned graciously, may help us all as we age. So how do we fit all this into our Christian life? It's often wise to start with scripture and seek out what God may be saying about us older people. Disappointingly, very little. Which is why we heard a few verses picked out rather than a whole passage. If you want a complete reading, look up Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and be very depressed. It ends with vanities of vanities, all is vanity, and that's why I didn't choose it. I didn't want to be too depressing. What we do read is that the elderly are to be respected, as they have wisdom. Our life experience gives us a grasp on reality which the young may not have yet have found. And I would ask that instead of referring to the elderly, as I have done so far, we should be seen in the congregation as the elders. Elders. That would respect our life experience and our struggles with life and faith, which can be shared for the benefit of those younger than us. And someone pointed out that this is the first generation where the older people are in the majority, and as such we need to care for each other. We have stories to tell. We have wisdom to share. I was reminded of this with the remembrance of the D-Day landings this week. The veterans had a story to tell, and they wanted to tell it, and they wanted it to be heard. A desire that it would be told so that history would not repeat itself. Which brings us to the essence of this morning. We have a faith journey to encourage others. As Christian older people, we hold a dissonance. There's a pull of the society we live in with its fetish for youthfulness, the denial of aging, and a great fear of death. And maybe the reason we're held at arm's length by many is that we are aware of our own imminent mortality. And that's scary to the young who still believe they are immortal. How do we live in this world and yet hold to a faith in the promise of eternal life? St. Paul states in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And that's what we hold, isn't it, together, particularly in older age. Yet death is not welcome, but it is inevitable. But we elders know that we are nearer than we used to be to the end of this earthly life. And what does that mean? Andy spoke last week about us being clay pots, but that these pots contain the love of God and the glory, Christ's glory. And this, in this imperfect world, and in us imperfect people, God's kingdom has already come. And we who put our trust in Jesus Christ are citizens of that kingdom. And there lies our hope. We are already living eternal life. And Jesus has cleared the way through the barrier of death so that we need not fear. It's not pie in the sky when you die, but a present reality. We are pilgrims on a journey, and my feeling is that death is the last doorway for me to walk through, and it's the last and most amazing adventure of my faith. So we are called to live in Christ, so that we may die in Christ. If we are to learn what it is to be a disciple in old age, how to grow old in the Lord, we must learn it from people who've been aged disciples before us. We learn with and from them the challenges to living faith that's the condition of aging brings with it. Challenges to faith that living with old age brings with it. And what aspects of faith are more meaningful in old age? There's a lot of things. I think one of the comments that most old people say as they grow older, and you talk to them about their faith, is that they believe more and more in less and less. It distills down to an essence of what is really important, and that we hold a strong faith in those, and a lot of the peripheral things don't matter anymore. So from age, disciples who've gone before, we may learn new dimensions of faith. Not a single dramatic existential decision, but a series of decisions made over the decades, not only as belief or trust or obedience, but as a form of loyalty that must be renewed day by day in the face of diminishing prospects. From them we may learn what deeds and words of Jesus speak most clearly to our hearts. Perhaps not leave all and follow me, but in patient endurance you shall save your souls. Not I will make you fishers of men, but today you will be with me in paradise. And we may learn from them the true significance and costs of Jesus' demand to take up your cross daily and follow me. So what about the spiritual lives of older people? Reading around this subject, it seems that for some, holding on to faith proves difficult. Life gets hard, and it's fair for them to shout at God and ask why, after years of loyal service, life has come to this. I think this may be partly the fault of the church, offering an unrealistic view of life and hoping difficult questions will not be asked. Healing does not mean cure. Health and wellness are not guaranteed to believers. Bad things happen to good people, and old age can be grim. But we are assured of the continuing love and care of our Heavenly Father, and also the promise of resurrection and the gift of eternal life. That's why we sang that last hymn, Faithful One, so unchanging, because that's where our hope lies. That's the rock upon which we build our faith and we build our lives. Lovely elders say to me, I can no longer do anything, therefore I'm not serving God or pulling my weight in church. To which I think the response is that we are called to be in Christ, not just doers. It's being as much as doing. And faithful witnesses to the work of the Holy Spirit within us and resting in God's love is our calling when activity is limited. And telling our stories to those who follow us so we can be those examples of faithful aging that we looked at earlier. And when we're told, at least you can pray, that is not a soft option or a cop-out. Andy recently spoke with gratitude of the army of praying folk he can rely on. The grey prayers. So important. And as life ebbs closer to its end, holding firm to the promises spelt out for us in Paul's letter, where he talks about the tent of our bodies. He said, we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Remember some of those scriptures quotes we heard in our reading from Ruth. He will renew your life in your old age. From Isaiah, I will still be carrying you when you are old. Your hair will turn grey, and I will carry you. I made you and will carry you to safety. And St. Paul again in Philippians, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And for those eavesdropping this morning who are younger, may we share our experiences and stories with you so that we can build up each other in our faith. And dear fellow elders, may we help each other in this journey of aging in Christ. May we be able to say with confidence to each other, "For I'm sure of this very thing, that the one who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." This is why we are not discouraged. Though outwardly we are wearing out, we are renewed every day. Amen.